Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you.
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Now we also blessed this week also with Champ Creed. What's going on, Champ?
Hey, what's going on there, G-Lo? What's going on, Wiz? What's going on? Hey, G-Lo, you can't do that, man.
Hey, yo, I fixed it. Yeah. I fixed it. Trust me. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all don't know I messed up on the intro, but before I started hitting the stream button, we already fixed it, so everything is good. Post-edit and we good. We straight.
Okay.
I fixed it.
We
fixed it. It's going to be fixed. Trust me, when the podcast version come out, it's fixed. But now, anyway, let's get started here. I want to get started at this point on this week. The induction to the Hall of Fame, Harlem Heat. Harlem Heat, to me, I thought was one of the biggest news coming up from WWE this week. The Harlem Heat will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2019 this week at WrestleMania 35 weekend. Hey, what's y'all thoughts on Harlem Heat being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
You want to go first, Chad? I mean, look, you get Booker T in there again. You get his big brother's inspiration, Stevie Ray. And Stevie Ray gave a really good speech when Booker got inducted. I still remember it to this day. And dare I say, I believe that Booker T is due a biopic film. I think his story warrants a biopic. And I'm saying this because I saw, Fighting With My Family, Paige's story, and that was really good. And it did well from critical acclaim standpoint. Commercially, it did well because it wasn't a huge budget film. I think that the fans and the general public responded well to it, because it was a family movie. It was a coming-of-age story with wrestling as the background, which focused on her individuality. I think Booker's story, dare I say, if you want to go, I'm not even going to give him the idea on air. But
nah,
you know what?
That. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, I'm gonna be quiet. I'm happy. Next.
Yeah. No. Well, I'll say this. One funny little interesting note too. Booker is getting Hall of Fame inductions are in New York.
Yes.
from his kayfabe home state.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he that's pretty cool. He gets to get inducted twice. In New York, and this time with his brother. I mean, the Harlem Heat one, you can't even be mad at that. Even if you're thinking, I thought this may have been the year for Demolition. I really did, but I'm definitely, absolutely not mad at Harlem Heat.
Yeah, that's but is it. That, a, I mean, and I trust me. I'm a big fan of Harlem Heat. I'm glad that Harlem Heat is getting into the WWE Hall of Fame. But is that a slap in the face to those guys who wrestled in WWE, like Demolition, like the British Bulldogs, like the Hart Foundation? That Harlem Heat never wrestled in WWE. Now, Booker T did.
Harlem Heat was better than all of those teams. So, I mean, there's the answer right there. Harlem Heat was better than all of them. I mean, as good as those teams were, Harlem Heat was better. They just were.
You know what? I was just going to say, just to be that guy that I always am, I could really see the committee sitting around saying, okay, so who from the New York area can we induct
to help sell
tickets locally?
Yes.
And someone that probably didn't have any understanding said, hey, there's a team in here called Harlem Heat, Harlem, New York. Let's put those guys up. And I can see it going through so many levels of approval just on name alone. And then you probably guy in there. What?
You know what, though, Keith? Yo, this is somebody, it's probably a rib. It's probably getting approved as a rib.
That's what I was getting to.
It's a way that you get two African American men in because the African American pool of Hall of Famers are running slim.
Oh, yeah, you don't say. You don't say, G. Remember that whole Black Wrestling Hall of Fame idea you had a few years ago? You'd have ran out of people by now.
No. I'm talking about active wrestlers. I'm talking about active wrestlers that will bring a crowd. Let's not forget, it's still a business. And you want to sell out the Barclays Center. So you bring people who are relevant. Harlem Heat is still relevant enough that people are still going to pay for a ticket. I agree with you. It makes sense Harlem Heat, New York City, black people and Latinos all identified with Harlem Heat growing up.
Well, it's still a rib. it's still a rib. It's still somebody's pushing that up on purpose at that point, saying, okay, you know, John wants to say Harlem Heat, huh? He doesn't want to do his research. Okay, I'm going to push this through just to make him look, and we're going to say the reason why. You know, due to locale, we're going to push Harlem Heat through. And somebody's going to be like, wait, but aren't they? Nope. They're from Harlem, New York. We're going to leave it right there.
I am happy for Stevie Ray. Trust me. I am happy for Stevie Ray.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely, though. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, we're joking around. But, no, they absolutely deserve it. There shouldn't be any argument about this. They definitely deserve going in.
And, yeah, I mean, 10-time WCW champion. I mean, I can't wait till you see the shirt, whatever shirt they have. I don't know. 10-time. You said it, I don't know. Say it 10 times. Harlem Heat, 2-time African American inductee. Like, let me check if I'm right.
Not gonna say 2-time African American inductee. You can cancel that.
hey champ, that's a shirt. Go ahead and make it, champ.
listen. I'm gonna be that guy again, and dare I say, I'm happy for Stevie Ray, but I kind of think Stevie Ray was ahead of his time. I think a guy like Stevie Ray in this generation that doesn't have a lot of dominant big men like they did before.
I think
Stevie Ray stands out tremendously, and I'm talking about at the main event level, you know, just on size, aggression on a microphone, you know what I mean?
You know what, you can talk like he's Chris Jericho out there, but for him to be, and not to sound disrespectful, but Booker T was the workhorse of that team. You know, Stevie Ray was the big guy. For him to be the big guy, they gave him he did very well with the microphone time he was given. That's what I'll say.
He did. And then when you gave them Sensational Sherry, he just took him to another level.
Yeah.
I mean, he did.
WCW credit for that. Whoever's creative idea that was, excellent idea.
Yeah, definitely an excellent idea by them giving. But Harlem Heat, you know, all jokes aside, this is a great inductee. While we're talking about the Hall of Fame, now there have been some rules changes to the Hall of Fame this year, was it? I don't know if you guys noticed.
I did.
Or found out. They try to limit the speeches to 15 minutes. 15-minute speeches now.
That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. No. Once you get them old timers up there and get them a couple drinks, it's going to be party night.
Now, my thing is, first thing came to my mind, you know how when you're watching the Oscars or you're watching the Grammys, that music hits and they're gone?
And that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do that. They're going to do that. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to start playing people off, literally.
So are you telling me Jim Johnston is set to make a return?
No. You can see Jim Johnston at StarCast, but you won't see him at the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh wait, he's gonna be there. Yep. I gotta go to that show.
Yeah,
but I have so many questions.
But you know what? I back to the 15 minutes real quick. We get on that later. I don't think. I mean, to me, Corey, we've been to a lot of Hall of Fames, and then you've been to more than most of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only really long speech last year was long, but Mick Foley's tops the longest speech of all speeches, I believe. I believe Jacqueline has the shortest speech that I've seen, you know. But most people really are here to like that 15 to 20 minute mark anyway. Except for you, Mr. T, talking about your mama.
Oh man, that was that dude. I mean, but he did what he had. You know what? They let him go. They let him talk. So you can't say nothing.
Right.
They let him talk.
Listen, if it wasn't for him, he was a key component in the success of early WrestleMania, so you let that man talk.
Yeah.
But
I mean, just WWE, period. Because, I mean, he was a huge star in the 80s. Huge star.
Oh, yeah. He was,
and was actively on WWE. So yeah, nah, you let them talk. Absolutely.
We'll see how the 15 minutes shape out. Also, there've been rumors that they won't be able to pick who's going to induct him this year.
You said you won't be what?
People who they won't be get won't be able to pick who's going to induct them.
Their inductor. Yeah. They probably just going to have them come right out. That would shorten everything too, because you got to figure that's a good 5-ish minute speech as well.
Right. I mean, I like that though, because the person's telling us a little bit of road stories, especially if you got a good storyteller like a Jim Cornette, a Paul Heyman, Bradshaw and Ron Simmons wasn't bad. So you have good people that can induct folk into the Hall of Fame. You know, people didn't go and ramble on for the most part. I tell you, I don't mean no harm. And when I say this, I ain't trying to disrespect anybody, but I'll bump it. The Warrior Award, she shouldn't talk. Mrs. Warrior.
You know what? No, you know what? All right. I'm not going to disagree, and I'm not going to agree. I just think that there has to be some sort of, like, cause some people can make the talk. Some people aren't really nice or really good at it, you know? And to be honest, like, I feel that every WrestleMania is tough for her and her family. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Around that time.
Around that time, like, there's no way that, you know, she could be 100% and deliver, you know, the best quality. Like, it, just emotionally this time of year. You know, if they do it another time, then yeah, but around this time, just due to the level of, you know, distraught and the memories and everything, you know, they might have to figure out a way to kind of like work around that. Or even if they do a pre-tape, you know, message, I think that will work. But I get what you're saying. You know, I just think that, you know, emotionally it's just a tough time for that, you know, situation.
I understand, but sometimes it's hard to watch. And last year being there, when people starting to get up and leave, I mean, it cleared out. And I'm not talking about just fans. You had superstars. Mm-hmm. You had the superstars getting up to leave before the show was even over.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when it's bad when your own people don't stay for the product. So I'm a fan of the 15-minute speech.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense because you got to figure the Hall of Fame is all, it's not in a sense, compared to the other shows, it's not as active to keep you, you know, up and moving or keep your, you know, your endorphins going to keep you awake. Like it's a sit down for 3 hours and you're pretty much sitting there. I mean, you react by laughing to certain things or whatnot, but that's a tough show to get through. And it's not because the show's bad necessarily. It's just the environment that you're in. It's really, really long. So yeah, no, I welcome the changes because some of the changes are, yeah, they're needed. They are. And as far as Dana Warrior, I just thought about, she's on creative now, isn't she?
Yep.
I think I saw that somewhere. Yeah. She's on creative now. That's right. That's all that.
Hey, I got a question. One of you guys might know the answer to this. I mean, have they ever, because I'm thinking of Closed Circuit back in the day, the Mr. T thing kind of jogged my memory. When there's WrestleMania in a certain city, do they open up another place to watch show WrestleMania on a screen? Like, for example, you know, when the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing Golden State in a championship or something like that, and they're playing in Golden State, but they're showing the game in Cleveland on the big screen in the arena. Have they ever, like, did WrestleMania at a huge venue in a city, but then did, like, kind of like a closed circuit feed in the same city or something like that?
Most of the, as far as cheap plug for WWE, you're welcome. I would watch the True Story of WrestleMania that's on the network, or if you have the DVD, because that they do kind of explain how closed circuit works, and they explain what they were doing at that time for the first couple of WrestleManias. But to answer your question, they were pretty much running them in movie theaters across the country. That's where they
were. But I mean, like, in New York, like, for say example, so, all right, so Hall of Fame is Friday night.
Well, WrestleMania 10, I know what you're asking. WrestleMania 10, they show, they sold out the Paramount, or you know what? I don't know what it's called now. Yeah, they ran the Paramount at the time. It was called the Paramount Theaters, and they sold that out and had the big screen down for that. So.
Yeah, I mean, with the network, I don't think they would probably have to need to do that.
But I mean, they wouldn't need to do that now. Yeah, everybody's got the network, so I mean, nobody would. I mean, people would
for fan experience purposes.
You'd have the only thing is, which probably be impossible. Somebody would have to be there. You'd have to send somebody there. But because it's literally all hands on deck Mania weekend, you're not really going to have nobody.
And you don't want to be that guy to get shipped to wherever.
Because remember this 25th anniversary of Raw or something like that where they were in in Brooklyn, but then they were broadcasting from the Manhattan Center or something like that?
Well, they were running the show from Manhattan Center as well. They had matches and stuff there too, so that it's a little different, but... You don't like we're just saying, you don't want to be that guy that's got to do the WrestleMania show duty. Like, literally, no pun intended, like Big Show at WrestleMania, what was that, X8? I think it was 18. Yeah, he had to work because he was in such bad shape and stuff and got sent back to OVW. He was at WWF New York for WrestleMania X8. He was like the superstar on hand. So. We can't say that because we're not in the business, so we don't know what kind of, you know, you do what you're told. But I mean, I guess from the outside looking in, you're like, dang, everybody else is at WrestleMania and you've got to work WWF New York. But you never know, maybe they liked it.
Yeah, let's move on to another major topic in WWE this week, and that's Kofi Kingston and New Day, where we found out this week by Vince McMahon that he likes the guys being a bunch of young bucks, and that Kofi Kingston now has to run through a gauntlet on this upcoming SmackDown, where he has to face Samoa Joe, he has to face Rowan, he has to face the both members of the Bar, he also has to face Randy Orton in order to get a WrestleMania match. I think this is great booking. What's your guys' thoughts on this?
Excellent booking because it's a creative way to get Kofi in there. And he'll run the gauntlet somewhat, but he's going to have help. And it'll be in a good way. Like, you know, AJ Styles is going to get, you know, introduced somehow with the Randy Orton part of the match. And, you know, you'll have Kevin Owens probably introduced at some point into, it looks like they're really going with him as a face. So you'll probably have him introduced at some point in the match. You'll probably have Mustafa Ali maybe introduced at some point in the match.
New Day itself.
Obviously. Yeah. To me, all I'm seeing with this, all I keep saying is that it's really looking like it's starting to happen. That Glenn's probably going to have the greatest day of his wrestling life on WrestleMania Sunday. Because by all intents and purposes, it looks like they're finally getting ready to get Kofi Kingston the championship. It really looks like.
I'll be happy. I mean, I'll be happy. I'll be excited. But, you know, I also know that Rock is an African-American man, too. So, but nonetheless, that's a whole different topic for a different day. But I think Kofi deserves it. I think the promo Vince McMahon, when I said it in our group chat, that the promo I think Vince McMahon did, it was good, but it also had that borderline Triple H, Booker T theme going on there as well. You know, like, you guys are good for the entertainment purposes and all this, but I don't think you're the guy. Nah, you've been here. You're good for this. You're a Hall of Famer, but you're a Hall of Famer.
You don't fit the mold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're a Hall of Famer, but you're a Hall of Famer with, you know, Xavier and Big E, but you're not a Hall of Famer by yourself. To me, I thought that was the greatest line there because we all know Kofi is a true surefire Hall of Famer. I think he should go in without New Day. I think he's a better Hall of Famer than some other guys that's in the Hall of Fame right now. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so you want my thoughts on this?
Go ahead, champ.
You're going to skip ahead.
No, we're waiting for you. All right.
okay, so, all right, business-wise, anytime Vince McMahon steps in the ring with you, it's not for nothing, you know? So the fact that Vince got himself involved in this angle speaks well.
Mm-hmm.
They caught something late, because if you remove this Kofi angle, because right now this is actually emerging as the number one storyline going into Mania now. Before, it was the Ronda and Becky and the first woman's main event. That had steam coming into the new year, going through January. That's kind of petered off a little bit, you know? This Kofi situation, I say it's above the Ronda and Becky situation now. And not for nothing, this Orton and AJ Styles thing, that might even get to the point where it's equal to or it's above the Becky and Ronda bout.
Well, look at the parties involved, you know?
Huh?
Look at the parties involved.
Those are
two of the top guys, period. Yeah.
Yes.
Orton and AJ, those are legitimately two of the top guys. Go ahead, champ.
Yes, and Randy hasn't had anything that could bring out the best in him in a very long time from a creative standpoint. This is doing that.
Yeah, champ, I'm glad you said that too, because if we look at Randy's last couple of WrestleMania matches, they have not been that good, especially the one with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't. Yeah, you're right.
And I agree. And now, I remember when New Day first came back, we weren't upset, but we were thrown off that they were brought in happy-go-lucky and jolly. And we thought we were going to get a potential new Nation of Domination, which a lot of us kind of like clamored for. But the way that they went about their business, being the New Day that we know them to be, and now switching to something more serious, it has more gravity now that they're more serious. Because it's easy to go from lighthearted to serious, then from serious to lighthearted, because now they have a leg to stand on. They have a legit claim for everything that they're saying, and it's believable because they're flanking Kofi, who's been there, who's the OG. And I just really like the storyline for multiple reasons. Pretty much SmackDown this upcoming week is going to be the Kofi show.
Yeah.
Because those are, how many matches? Four matches?
Yeah, like four or five, something
four
like that.
Five.
Four matches. We're going to be watching Kofi for 2 hours, which is not a problem.
Yeah, no, it's not at all.
No, it's not. I think Kofi gets the win there. I think back to Randy Orton real quick. I think, you know, Randy Orton is definitely a legend in his business. I think him and AJ Styles have a potential. That match has the potential to steal the show. When you talk about matches and these guys putting it on, right now, the WrestleMania card, if you look at it, it's setting up to be a good card. I haven't found a weak spot as of yet that's on that card, based off the matches that are named. Are there any weak spots as of yet on the card? And Randy and AJ is that match that, you know what, that's good. And then Kofi and Daniel Bryan, definitely going to shut the house down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, definitely going to shut the house down. So it's good for Kofi Kingston to be able to be in the spot. It's good for New Day to be in the spot. Champ, I'm going to talk with you real quick. When New Day first came out, you was one of the guys like, yo, what's this foolery going on here? What are your thoughts on New Day and Kofi now?
And I was the one advocating for it. I said, it's going to work. I did say it's going to work.
Wizard, you were right. Glenn, I was wrong. I did it for The Rock.
Yeah. Speaking of foolery, or speaking of see where WWE's going, let's hit on this one real quick. We got a new Intercontinental Champion, Bobby Lashley, picks up the win here, and this is confusing to me. I need your help, Wizard. You have in your insight. Finn Balor had the title for 22 days. What's the point? Where are we going with Finn? Where are we going with Finn?
Honestly, I think that was just a reward or a thank you. For, you know, kind of like R-Truth. You know, R-Truth giving that spot up, you know, for Nia Jax to do her thing in the Royal Rumble. They gave him a little thank you U.S. title one. Same thing with Finn. Finn coming in at the last minute and filling in for Braun Strowman against Lesnar. Okay, they throw him a bone and throw him in the Intercontinental Championship. But it's probably, if they're putting it on Lashley for Finn to get it back, you know, at WrestleMania, that'd be cool too. Maybe this is all an advancement to get the Demon Finn Balor out there at WrestleMania. I still think that's got to happen. You've got that character. You've got to have that at WrestleMania.
Well, there's been some rumors out there that WWE has been talking back with The Undertaker. You know? And there's been rumors that you may see Finn Balor, The Undertaker, and The Demon. That's been a rumor, too, and that was one of the reasons why he got the IC title taken off of him, so he can be able to face The Undertaker as a Demon later on.
I'm just saying,
that's a rumor out there in the dirt sheets.
I can live with that.
Around this time of year, next week, probably my last week reading the dirt sheets until WrestleMania, but that was one of the reasons.
You know me. You know me. My dirt sheet I don't want to say that. My removal from
hiatus.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't want to be offensive.
I always cut myself off 2 to 3 weeks, you know, prior to Mania. So that was one of the last things I read. I also heard that there may be a triple threat match somewhere between Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush, and Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. So
that'd be interesting.
There have been some rumors there, too, as well, for those guys. You know, it's good to see Bobby Lashley as an IC champ. Be interested to see where Finn Balor goes from here. His WrestleMania moments have not been great in the last couple of years, neither. So,
well, he's only had one.
That's what I'm saying. That
one.
Yeah, but that one hadn't been great neither.
Well, okay. Well, that was the one. Like, is that what we're judging off? Like, it's one.
Good old Glenn Gunn, your strikes again.
No. Right. Think about it. He's been injured.
He only had one. You said all his WrestleMania moments. He only had one.
And that isn't one all of them?
I mean, man.
Tell me one is not all of them.
Oh, gosh, man.
Now Glenn, you went from Glenn Gagne to Don King in 1 second, man.
Yeah, well, one is all of them. But anyway, let's go to this guy right here who, at the beginning of the year, we thought that he would have a big WrestleMania moment. It looked like he's shaping up to be able to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and that's Drew McIntyre. I think Drew McIntyre on Monday night was the star of Monday Night Raw, in my opinion. Destroying Roman Reigns and also destroying his buddy Dean Ambrose on Monday Night Raw. Drew McIntyre with the intensity. I really wanted to see Drew McIntyre in the championship picture at WrestleMania this year. Looked like we won't get it, but we have a high-profile match looking that he will face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Your thoughts on Drew McIntyre from this past Monday night?
I thought it was very well utilized. To me, it's looking like we're going to get Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. That's what it looks like it's leading to. Unfortunately, anybody that's facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania this year, you ain't
Ultimate
winning.
Heat.
Yeah,
Ultimate
yeah, yeah.
Heat.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way possible you're winning. I'd be shocked if Roman Reigns loses at WrestleMania this year. I'd be shocked. Like, that, and you know, rightfully so. I mean, at least at this time, you kind of got to ride that hot hand. So, it's still a high. I will say this, whoever does get Roman Reigns at WrestleMania better consider it an honor. Because that's a high privileged situation to be placed in there with that amount of, like, the amount of attention you're going to get being the opponent of Roman Reigns this year. That's huge. So
yeah, it's definitely huge. And you know, we talked about this a little bit on Sunday night after the Fastlane pay per view. WWE constantly mentioned Dean Ambrose's departure. I'm just coming to believe he's not going anywhere. Unless we live in a day in a world and age where WWE's not trying to insult the intelligence of the wrestling fan anymore, because we've seen it on the internet, we've seen it on social media, we've talked about it. I just don't see Dean Ambrose leaving. Just don't. I mean, we talk about Dean Ambrose. They're not. I mean, and the reason I say that, look, they're not talking about the Usos contract on SmackDown and that they haven't signed yet, neither. Let's be honest. They.
Yeah, but the Dean Ambrose one, I think they didn't have a choice in the sense of he's the biggest star of all of those that could possibly be leaving. And because the story got out there so big. And it says that the Usos ones got out there, but it was like, okay, maybe. You know, the Dean Ambrose one really got out there. Like, it was to the point everybody was talking about. Nobody was really talking about the Usos one. The Dean Ambrose one, all kind of media outlets were covering that. And WWE was like, okay, well, why fight it? Now, it's the obvious thing that we've been wrestling fans so long. We're thinking, okay, WWE's talking about it. It's got to be a work. It could end up still not being a work. He could end up still leaving, you know? Especially the way he got jobbed out Monday night. He not jobbed out in a bad way, but he got beat down to where that's almost like a using that kind of beat down to elevate somebody else.
Yeah, they sure did elevate Drew McIntyre, because that was, to me, was the highlight. One of the highlights of Monday Night Raw. Another highlight of Monday Night Raw was this. Alexa Bliss being named the host of WrestleMania. To me, that's a highlight. I think anytime she's on TV, she's money. But I'm still...
She definitely has a career, a post-WWE career in media. I can already see that. Like, I can see her being, like, the guest host of, like, the morning show. The show that Regis used to do. I should know this because it's like 10 blocks away from me.
Regis
can't think of it off the top
Regis
of my head.
Kelly?
Regis or Kelly. It's Ryan and Kelly now.
Ryan and Kelly now.
So I could see her potentially like hosting or filling in and doing media spots like that on different morning show networks, what have you. So I think this is a good way to groom her for her career post-wrestling. I like it.
Hey, Wiz, is she hurt and the WWE's not telling you?
Who is this?
Alexa Bliss. Is she still hurt?
Oh,
or they just don't have anything they let her be host.
No, I think there's nothing for her. I think there's nothing for her. I mean, and she came back at such a weird time. She came back at the Royal Rumble. You know, that's when she's cleared to return to action. But at this point, both of the women's championships are pretty much in a way that she's not going anywhere near them. She wasn't going to win the tag title, and she wasn't going to be in the storyline at all for the women's championship. And I think she's a little bit more of a marketable personality than to just be stuck in the women's battle royal. So, excuse me, get her face out there. She's their marketable face. Other than like a Charlotte or something, Alexa Bliss is very marketable. So get her out there.
Yeah, everybody loves her. She's like that top cheerleader in high school that everybody likes. She is. Everybody likes Alexa Bliss. No one says anything bad about her in the company or elsewhere. She is that person that people love. The fans love her. The broadcast people love her, which I don't understand why Corey Graves ain't talking about her, but more so Mandy Rose. But I know that's all scripted.
Well, we know why Corey Graves ain't talking about her.
It's all scripted. It's all scripted. And let's talk about scripted. Let's talk about Ronda Rousey this week. She had a big week this week talking about WWE and her being scripted in her whole rant she did on her video. Champ, I know that's your girl. You follow the MMA world. You know Ronda for, you know, been around that world. Your thoughts on this rant in the video that Ronda did?
Ronda's not my girl. I am a pro Becky supporter. As I sip from the chalice of champions, I think that this might have been the best maneuver for them, because clearly Ronda has complications with a live mic in a large arena. Her delivery isn't the best. You see they transitioned her to doing segments and promos backstage, which might, you know, loosen up her anxiety that she has and that she experiences.
they knew that they had to do something. And I believe that this was a great job of recognition, adjustments, and advancing the storyline by putting her in that situation where she's breaking kayfabe and she's blurring the lines between reality and what's actually going. Because for those that aren't in the know, they're going to bite hook, line, and sinker. For those that are in the know, they're going to question, hey, wait a minute, this can or cannot happen. It could be a work shoot or it could be an actual shoot. And for those who know, you know, you look at it and you appreciate it for what it was. I will say, I think the WWE creative staff over the past couple of weeks, they've turned a corner, and they turned a corner at the right time by making moderate adjustments and then being able to handle the new things that have fallen in their lap. At some point in time, you know, you always wonder, like, wow, what's going to happen in WrestleMania? And I always get to the point where I say, am I going to go or am I not going to go, or what's the card or whatever the case may be? But I'd say this year they turned the corner really quickly and found some gems. And this thing with Ronda and her, you know, breaking the fourth wall, so to say, I think it works for her, and it makes her look okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. At this point, you might as well, whatever kind of work shoot stuff you can incorporate with this storyline to make it better, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I think it adds to the story. It makes it, you know, that great. You have a lot of wrestling purists, and I use quotation marks, that don't like this. It's not like people didn't know wrestling was scripted anyway, and I didn't use the word fake. Like, oh, that's breaking down the words. Why they do that? Why she keep saying this, that, and the other about the pro wrestling? Because she...
Sorry to cut you off, but can we admit that this thing is losing steam?
It's now that she's in the match, it's like, okay, well, we knew y'all were getting there anyway. That's why I think it loses steam. Like, the kind of ways that they were trying to creatively keep the storyline going didn't really work that well. I mean, the Ronda heel turn kind of made it great, but I mean, I'm not even mad at the heelish way that they just inserted Charlotte in there. I'm not even mad at that, because I mean, what other way to draw heat than to just put somebody in there who you're like, oh, come on, well, you got to put her in there. Like, it just draws heat. But it is... I think they've already invested. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Okay. I think they've already invested the promotional time and effort, both on camera and off camera, into this being the main event. I don't think they're going to go away from that. I could be wrong. But I think at this point, I mean, because match lineup is always subject to change. But they put so much, you know, gasoline into this being the main event, the main event, the main event. I think they stick to it. The only other candidates I could see them switching it out for is Kofi and Daniel Bryan or Seth and Brock. Because if Seth and Brock gets legs, which it looks like it's trying to, that could end up closing the show as well.
Now, do you bring Brock Lesnar back and him not be the main event?
Yeah, I kind of see where you're getting with that. I hear you.
You know, I know we all want the women to be in the main event, and I do too. But do Brock Lesnar, you bring Brock Lesnar back, and he is not the main event of the show, the last match. I mean, I think you still get a good go-home moment, a feel-good moment, if Seth Rollins wins the title and finally slays a beast.
I think you should.
No. You still can get the fireworks to go off. The fans will still celebrate it. We'll still be celebrating, and you can close the show with a good moment, especially if you see Seth Rollins standing in the ring with Roman Reigns.
We ain't closed a good moment. We ain't closed a good moment last year. No fireworks
question.
Last year. Rock shut down.
I know,
down.
Right?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
it was just over, and then everybody had to walk home in the ring. Question. in terms of Roman Reigns, in terms of his health, is he 100%?
I think I don't know of a designation, but with the way WWE is now as far as people's health, if he ain't 100%, he's over 90. Put it that way. At this point, they to have him out there he's got to be fully able to perform regularly.
Yeah, they're not taking any chances. They're not taking any chances with his health or his body. I mean, look at how long they made Daniel Bryan wait. I mean, look what they did. They're doing the page, you know. So, yeah, Roman Reigns is like, I agree with you, Corey. If he's not 90, if he's not 100%, he's got to be at least 95 to anywhere from right there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, has to be on that level. Shout out to Dana Brooke this week who put on a who cut a good promo on Ronda Rousey. I thought a promo by Dana Brooke was good. I thought she did a good job for what the purpose was for her to do. So that shout out to her as she does that, as she got some TV time, on this past week, Monday Night Raw. Speaking of injuries, Keith, champ, and you're talking about losing steam. At what point is Becky Lynch going to lose the crutch? I mean, my God, it's been a while now.
I mean, is she kayfabe hurt or is she, like, shoot hurt?
She kayfabe. Got to be kayfabe.
Yeah, I don't
Becky
see
Lynch.
Hurt Becky.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Yeah, but at what? I mean, come on, it's a month and a half now. At what point did she lose the crutches?
I think she did.
I don't even know why they gave her the crutch in the first place.
You know, we got to keep kayfabe. I think I agree with you. It is losing a little bit of steam. But again, we all know where this place is going to be placed. Where it's going to be placed on the card. One of the last two matches on the card. Either it's the main event or it's the co-main event. I don't see any other match besides Brock Lesnar taking that main event spot.
No, look, I'm telling you, I'm really starting to think that Brock and Seth will be the main event, Kofi and Daniel Bryan will be the co-main event, and Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte will be the feature bout. I really think they've slid down to slot number three.
You know what? I could see that. That's why I said, you know, that's always subject to change. I just feel, and what I was saying earlier, I guess, and you'll probably get it. It seemed like they put so much into them saying they're the main event, that it seemed like they're going to try to stick to their guns. But if it were me, what you just said is absolutely what I would do. Becky, Ronda, Charlotte would go on somewhere in the middle or so and be that. It would go on the same position that Ronda and Kurt versus Stephanie and Triple H went last year. I think that was the perfect spot. That's where I would put them this year, if it were me.
Got you. Speaking of Kurt Angle, how you guys feel about him, this WrestleMania 35 being his last go around at WWE, last match? He had a match against Apollo Crews on this past Monday night. He beat Apollo Crews. And who would you want to see face Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 35 for his last match?
Good send-off. Good way to send him off. I think he deserves that. I do. I think that's an excellent way to go ahead and get the most marketing out of his name, because he is still name value. I've seen names out there. I think John Cena is a good candidate for that. Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable. I think it's going to be a pure wrestler. Or somebody he can go in there with and have. We'll get a good 20 minutes out of it too, because it's his last go around. I think he goes all out. We'll get a good solid match out of this.
I think he should win.
I don't know if it's Cena. I don't know if Kurt wins. I don't know. I think it's that, you know, in that tradition we all hear about.
Oh, wait a minute. Bringing it full circle with Cena.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you just pull that off the top of your head, or did you think about that?
No. I've just been thinking about that. I was like, Cena was the first person I thought of. I was like, well, what a way to, you know, John Cena began his career with Kurt. Kurt can end his with him. That's what I was thinking of. I was like, okay, well.
Perfect storyline. Perfect. Yeah, you can't lose with that.
Yeah,
hey, hold on, wait. And then listen. Now, look. On premise alone, on players alone, that could eclipse Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte.
Yeah, especially if they end up having a good match out there, too. Like, a good, solid match. That'll be talked about. It will be.
Yeah, like, and then just think of the promotion leading up to it. That, listen, I can really see this. Okay, let me take that back. Main event, Seth versus Lesnar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. Co-main event, Kofi versus Daniel Bryan, should Kofi make it. Retirement match, final farewell, swan song, John Cena versus Kurt Angle, and then Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda beneath that.
I would agree with you any other time besides us being in a women's movement. They're not sliding that far.
If
it was any other year, any other time, I would say, you know what, you got a point. But I don't see them sliding past the final three matches. I might be wrong.
Where was Ronda, Steph, Triple H, and Kurt placed last year?
Yeah, that was in the middle, though. Gee,
it was the middle card.
That was the top of the first half. I'll put it that way. That was the headlining match of the first half of WrestleMania, was that.
You know, but I think whoever Kurt Angle's opponent is, it will be a big match. I think it will be a big match, and I agree with you. It is huge because Kurt Angle is a major star in WWE. I mean, he's a major star. He's already a Hall of Famer, and he came back, you know, to help. His comeback has been good, but he's past his prime. You can see it. You can see it for him being in the ring. You know,
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's time for him to go. But I do think WWE was smart and they got the most out of him that they could.
Yeah,
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, and you was right, Corey. It was the halfway point. It was the seventh match on the card last year. Out of 14 matches.
There you go. Yep. There you go. They usually have a good, you know, emotion draining match halfway through.
Right.
It kind of gets you like, woof, like, man. And it's also a selling point to be like, yeah, we look at where we got you at. We're only halfway through.
Yeah. And Asuka and Charlotte was number five, the fifth match on the card.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that shapes out this year. But champ, I do agree with you. It could be another match. As I said earlier, they have not been a bad match name so far on this card.
No, it hasn't.
Mm-mm. And I think this is WrestleMania shaping up to be one of the very best WrestleManias in a long time. In a long time. But a good send-off for Kurt Angle if he wins. I just want to see him win. I'd like to see a wrestler win on a swan song. I know they usually don't win, but it'll be good for Kurt Angle to go out with a W.
But
unless he's getting a young guy over. Only way that I don't like, see, if he's getting a young guy over, it's good. Him losing to, if John Cena losing to Kurt Angle, it's not going to hurt John Cena.
Yeah, but do you want Cena losing again? Like, that mama don't win at all now. That's where my thing is. That, okay, I get when people become to the point where they're, you know, they're untouchable as far as losing. Like, it doesn't matter. But you got to throw him a bone sometime. I'll put it this way. To me, why do you think Triple H is going in as a face this time for WrestleMania?
Oh, he's
been losing at WrestleMania so many years. It's like, you got to throw him one every once in a while.
Yeah, he's getting
one since 31, so yeah.
Yeah, he's getting that win. That was 31 with Sting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's getting a win.
And the only reason why he won that just because WWE, they wasn't going to job him out to WCW. Because that was WWE versus WCW, WWE was winning that.
Yeah, speaking of that, what are y'all guys thought on that promo this week, Batista and Triple H?
I was going to say, is there any chance outside of Cena that someone comes back to match up against Kurt?
I'm just trying to think of notable opponents that Kurt Angle has had over the years. I mean, what sucks is that
Edge can't
suck. Actually, no. You know what?
Edge can't go.
Something they could run, you know, as far as the TNA ties, if there's nothing that Samoa Joe is doing, even though he's U.S. champ, they could do Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe.
They could run that. That was my thought. I was thinking as well as I'm running through guys. If you really think about it, all the guys that Kurt Angle's had a great match with, besides Joe, is already booked on this WrestleMania card. Brock Lesnar has somebody to go against. We would love to see him and Daniel Bryan, but that's not going to happen. All right?
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, not going to happen. Samoa Joe's the only guy that right now that doesn't have anything, and he could be that.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, Cena or Joe would be good for Kurt Angle.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, well, real quick, go before we shut this thing down. Let's go back to this Batista and Triple H. Your thoughts on the promo this week? We know we got a no-holds-barred match now at WrestleMania between Triple H and Dave Bautista. Wizard, you talked about it earlier. Triple H hadn't won since WrestleMania 31. But this is, oh, speaking of retirement matches, this is also supposed to be Dave Bautista's last song as a wrestler as well.
Well, he losing. They're not going to have Triple H lose to Bautista for a fourth time. So, I mean, you got to figure. Bautista's career was pretty much made off of Triple H in the sense of Triple H gave him three W's, like three straight W's at that, like, and no win back. Like, you know what I'm saying? They never fought again after that. So, no, they, Triple H is winning that. He's winning that.
Yeah, by all means, Triple H is definitely winning that. I think Triple H is definitely going to win this. I think it's going to be a good no-hold-barred match, as I mentioned earlier. I think on a post-show or one of the other shows we did, I think DX gets involved in here. Be interested to see who gets involved on Dave Bautista's side to help him out.
Mason Ryan.
Oh, boy. No.
Whatever happened to him?
Just never really panned out, and they released him.
Yeah, they released him, never panned out.
He was at NXT the last I remember.
And then
they let him go from there.
Yeah, let him go from there. Hey, as we get ready to close this thing out, fellas, final thoughts on this week in professional wrestling. AEW still got news. Jericho and Cody Rhodes going back and forth on All Elite. Check that out on YouTube. Cody Rhodes called Chris Jericho a dick in the Washington Post, and Jericho telling him, basically, you a pissant, and I made AEW, and y'all couldn't have done this without me. Check it out. Good story between Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho heading into Double or Nothing.
There's no disrespect to them or anything, but right now it's WrestleMania season, and until that's pretty much it. They don't even try to advance or do it. I mean, put little stuff out there to stay relevant, keep your name going, but don't try to do anything major because it's not going to get the attention you want it to. It's just not.
Not during this time of year.
What you do is you have your street team out there with your promotional materials all weekend, and you just put your name out there.
Right. I mean, even the UFC is smart enough not to do anything around WrestleMania time.
Yeah.
No, it's WrestleMania season. Everybody, all eyes will be on WWE and WWE products WrestleMania weekend. Nothing else. Besides the NCAA, but more, I think a lot of people watch wrestling anyway, so. Especially if the Final Four doesn't go the people way that people want it. And people brackets already get busted by that time anyway.
Sure. Well, no, I think it's a different audience. I mean, it's a large audience, and you may have some overlap in terms of, like, you know, interests. But I just think that going back to the AEW thing, if I'm them, I have my street team out here. I'm promoting. I'm keeping the visibility of our, you know, branding and logo. I'd even bring some of my guys out here. You ain't going to do no invasion angle, but, you know, you have them present. And then once that Tuesday after SmackDown, what have you? Where do they go next after that? What city are they in with after SmackDown on Wednesday?
I can look now. I can tell you.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they take a break. Truth be told.
No. Wait. Are you talking about after WrestleMania?
Yeah, after WrestleMania, WWE takes a break.
Oh, I had no clue where they're at after that. I want to say probably the UK got to be coming up after that.
It's like the UK is like 2-3 weeks after that, but that
yeah, week, I was gonna say yeah. So,
yeah, that yeah, Wednesday that, until that, the that, following the Wednesday until the following Monday, WWE is off.
That's when you gain your ground. That's when you pick up your steam and all that. So on the road to WrestleMania, are they gonna be in DC, Baltimore, Philly? Like
yeah,
those are the last two shows.
Those are the last two shows. Baltimore,
really?
DC.
Yes.
The go home Raw is in DC. The go home SmackDown is in Baltimore.
And so expect Batista to go over on the last show and last Raw because that's hometown for him, baby. DC.
All right. Yeah, nah. Yeah, and I'll be heading up right after SmackDown. I'm not even going to go back home. And there ain't no point.
Hey, give me your closing thoughts on this week's show, fellas. Champ, start with you. Closing thoughts.
Solid. No complaint. I just think a lot of things happened to push that Becky and Ronda and Charlotte triple threat back. It pushed them back. I'm sorry. I think now that's the fourth fight away from the main event. The fourth match, excuse me. So I like what they're doing.
Wiz?
Yeah, it sucks because it is starting to lose steam. And I'll just keep it 100. They starting to lose steam, so it's going to be very interesting now. Oh, and Champ, they are in Montreal the next week after WrestleMania.
Yeah, AEW can just go ahead and just do little things. Don't try to do too much.
Yeah, it's not really. They're like I said, at least after WrestleMania, that's when they can start their push. Because their show is Memorial Day weekend, so they got to start doing something. But
which is a good date to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
Always a good date. Hey, my closing thoughts here, man. It's good to be a wrestling fan at this time of year. This is like our Christmas. This is like whatever holiday you want to put that you love growing up. Roll the WrestleMania. Great matches so far on the card. Interested to see. Still waiting to see who Asuka's challenger is going to be for the Women's SmackDown title. Interested to see how that pans out. And a little something that this weekend that we saw at hopefully does pan out for WrestleMania. The Iconics take on the Boston Hug Connection.
I hope so too, man. Those are my girls, man.
Yeah.
Man, I can't act that is.
Hopefully that shape out. But nonetheless, thanks for joining us. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube. Those on Facebook, thanks for joining us. Make sure you hit us up and follow us wherever we at. Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.